Missing her, and she has been through quite an ordeal, but I'm so glad that the Lord's with you and that you're doing as well as you are and thrilled to see you back in church. I really, really am, and I mean that sincerely. Behind every good man and godly man is a great lady, and that would be true of our speaker tonight. Miss Julie is somewhere here, and I know she's sitting. Oh, I see her now. Miss Julie, stand up so our folks can welcome you to Hilltop Church. This is Dale's wife, Julie, and great lady. I have known this couple now for over 30 years. Matter of fact, it would even date back to my college days when I first met Dale. And he's older than I am, by the way. He wasn't in college when we met. But when I first came to Hilltop in 1987, he was pastoring in Dunn. We formed a friendship then, kind of worked together on in several capacities. And we just kept up with each other through the years. Now, I said this morning, I'm going to say again, cancer has affected so many of our lives, even in this auditorium right here, from the pastor in my family history to oodles of you that I'm looking at right now, and I wouldn't even begin to try to call people's names. But I was thinking, knowing what Dale has been battling and understanding what some of our church family has been facing, I thought to myself, it would be good to have him here in our pulpit just to share. And this is what I'm not shocked at him at all about this. But if there's ever a man that has received not the diagnosis that anyone would want to receive, but has allowed God to have glory through his life, it would be Dale McCoy. He has done that from day one. I love and appreciate that. That's when your faith is seen by the people that are unsaved, don't understand. And how can you have peace and have a battle physically that's going on? Dale's that kind of man. I believe he has something to say to us. I love him. I appreciate the friendship we've had through the years. And I want you to welcome him to our pulpit as Dale McCoy comes to preach for us.
What a joy it is to be here this evening. I am delighted to come and share with you what the Lord has given me, and I appreciate the opportunity. Brother Jeff is absolutely right. We go back a long, long way, and I couldn't help but notice this. Leslie sang a little earlier. I remember when she was barely a toddler, and Rose would dress her and Stacy up in those frilly, pretty little girl outfits. And they were so cute back then. But I came to realize tonight that Leslie got her good looks and her great voice from her daddy. I was amazed at that. But then I realized it's only obvious because Miss Rose still has hers. Only friends can pick on friends, right? I want you to open your Bible to Job 23. I don't intend to keep you very long tonight, and I'm not sure of everything that Brother Jeff hoped would transpire tonight, but most of my story I will share as part of this sermon, at least in the early part. But I have found this message to be needed all across our country. God gave me this message around a year and a half or so ago. And as I have traveled across the state raising funds for Glad Tidings, and by the way, thank you for your support of our ministry in Ashboro. God has blessed in immeasurable ways there at Glad Tidings, and we are grateful for what He is doing and what He is yet going to do. As a matter of fact, Brother Jeff, we are scheduled to take our second reduction from the mission board in April, and as it stands right now, we look like we're right on target to be able to handle that. So we're trying to get our church self-supporting. Today was one of our lower attended days. It was just the day that Several families couldn't make it for whatever reason, but up until today, we've been running in the 30s about every Sunday, and we started off running about 13 or 14, and so God's been blessing in a remarkable way, and we're grateful for that. But as I was saying, God gave me this message, and I've used it all over the state of North Carolina, and when I first began preaching it, I had no idea that I was simply preparing my own heart for such a time as this. Because this message is one that I believe every child of God needs to hear. And in many ways, though it is not exactly evangelistic, every unsaved person needs to hear. Because you see, the reality of the matter is bad things do happen to good people. Amen? Now, if you listen to the charismatic crowd on the television and radio of our day, they would do the same thing that many of Job's friends did to him, and they would blame all that on some sin in your life, or either because you're not sending them enough money. Hello. But I'm here to tell you that that's not exactly the case. The reality of the matter is some of the most godly people in all of history have suffered some of the greatest of adversities and trials, and for some, that's a bit of a stumbling block. But Job was one of those men, and I'm going to share some things with you this evening that we can learn from the life of Job about that situation, because you see, what we're going to talk about is when God can't be found. Now, I want you to realize with me, right off the bat, we're not saying that God is never present. He is always present. But there comes a time in your life when it seems like He just can't be found. And Job is experiencing a moment like that in this passage and teaches us some great truth. So read it with me, beginning in verse 1, Job 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Now let me point something out right there. When Job talks about his stroke, he is not talking about a physical stroke that affects the brain. He is talking about being in such a depressed and low state that the weight of the writing instrument is so heavy that he can hardly hold it and stroke the pen. Now think with me for a moment. There's nobody here but just us. You pull a pen out of your pocket, it's not very heavy, is it? But it's probably 5 or 6 times heavier than a quill. Amen? And Job says, "I am in such a condition that the weight of this quill is too heavy for me to write with." Ladies and gentlemen, I would propose to you, we may have had some bad days, but I don't know that any of us have been at that point. He goes on to say in verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge." Now notice this. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing," watch this, "that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Father, in these next few moments, I pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this mind and body. Lord, I stand here with a spiritual task and responsibility that can only be met with the aid and guidance of the precious Holy Spirit of God. So, Lord, I submit myself to you afresh and anew. Keep my mind clear. Help me to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't. And help us to be a blessing to God's people and a challenge to those who do not yet know you. In fact, may they come to know you at the conclusion of this service. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. There's a knock on the door. It's about 3 a.m. As you approach the door, you notice the flashing lights of law enforcement in your driveway and you realize, my son's not home where he should be. Or perhaps you're sitting in a situation tonight where the phone rings and you get a phone call that says your daughter who's been serving in the armed forces in Afghanistan did not survive an attack. Perhaps, just perhaps, your daughter has approached you and said to you, Mom, I know this will disappoint you and Dad, but I am pregnant, though I'm not married. Or perhaps even worse, she says, I have had an abortion. And then even perhaps your son sits you down one day and says, I know this will hurt you deeply, but I must confess to you that I have a same-sex attraction. You come home from work to find the divorce papers on the counter. Or even you left work with a pink slip, unemployed, and you didn't see it coming. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that even for the best of Christians, the godliest of men and women and young people, there are those times that come to our lives when we feel like the wind has been knocked out of our sails and we need God and we need God desperately, but He seems to be a million miles away. I found out, just like many of you have found out, that the next phone call, the next visit, the next doctor's office appointment can give you news you did not see coming. I visited my doctor on a normal follow-up visit because he had given me a new diabetic medication and we wanted to see if it was working well, if we needed to make some adjustments with it. As I walked in the office, I walked in with a noticeable limp. My hip had been bothering me for a long, long time. And so I finally mentioned it to him and I said, do you think we need an x-ray? And he said, I certainly do. I was hoping he'd find some severe arthritis or some explanation for the pain. But when I went back to him, he called me and said, get in here, I need to talk to you. The x-ray technician said, there are lytic lesions on your hip and you need to search for a primary carcinoma. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I knew what that word meant. I was being told I have cancer. And so my doctor began immediately ordering all sorts of tests, only to discover I now have stage 4 kidney cancer that is metastasized into the bones and the lungs and some lymph nodes. For about 72 hours, it was a roller coaster ride of emotions for Julie and I. And little did I know as I began preaching this sermon across this state that it was going to be the one I would need to cling to personally, much less share with others. While I have never doubted God or His will, and I've never questioned why, and I do not today, I do accept that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so I'm willing to walk those steps that He has ordered. But I do want to use this time in my life to help others and to challenge others. And with that in mind, I want to show you some things that Job teaches us about what to do when God can't be found. In those times and those moments when it seems like He's so far away, what do we do? How do we respond? I'm afraid that not many respond correctly. The temptation is to drown that sorrow with alcohol or to cover it up with drug abuse or any other number of things. But I'm here to tell you, child of God, that Job gives us some great lessons on how to handle such times and experiences. First of all, Job teaches us that when God can't be found, trust your standing. Trust your standing. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me just show you a few things that Job says in this passage. Watch this, okay? Verse 4, I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which He would answer me and understand what He would say unto me. In other words, and verse 6, will He plead against me with His great power? No! I call your attention as we continue looking at this passage. He says in verse 7, the righteous might dispute with Him. He's considering himself a righteous individual. Notice in verse 11, my foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. Do you know what Job is saying here? Job is saying, I am in a desperate way. I need God. I want to talk to God. I must have His attention, but I can't find Him. But even though I can't find Him, I recognize that I am righteous, that He is God. He is my Father. I am His child, and I don't need to doubt my relationship with Him because things are going bad. Can I tell you, the devil would love nothing more than to come to you and accuse you of not being right with God. If you were right with God, he wouldn't let these things happen to you. If you were right with God, he wouldn't allow you into such a despairing or a way of despair. But I'm here to tell you that the valley does not mean God is not present. Hello? The adversity does not mean you are not a child of God. Job said, I am His child. I am a righteous man. And he clinged to that promise. Don't doubt your relationship with God. Recognize He's still God and you're still His child, even in those experiences that life gives to us where God can't be found. And Job said, look, I'm looking for Him. I'm going forward, backward, left, right. I can't find Him. But I know I'm righteous. I know I'm His child. Job never doubted his relationship with the Lord. And we don't have to doubt ours. Amen? Secondly, Job teaches us that when God can't be found, trust the Scripture. I'm sure you noticed in verse 12, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I considered telling you that I knew Brother Jeff when he was skinny and had hair. There was only one reason I didn't tell you that. It was because it reminded me that he knew me when I was skinny and had hair. Amen. But I'm saying that to say this. As I look around this congregation, I can tell we're Free Will Baptist. Now, thank God some of you have been able to keep some weight off. Okay? I'm proud of you. I'm your biggest supporter. But most Free Will Baptist are on the level, and we can prove it. Because our bubble is in the middle. Most of us don't miss too many meals. Amen? Someone asked me recently, knowing that I now have cancer, said, has your appetite gone? I said, I wish. I still have a major appetite for good food. But look what Job said about the Word of God. He said, I have esteemed, I have valued the words of the Lord more than my necessary food. May I remind you that as we sit in this building today, this is the inerrant, inspired, infallible, immutable word of the one and only true and living God. And here's the beautiful thing about what Job is saying. Job is saying that, and he didn't even own one of these. What do you mean, preacher? Well, most Bible scholars believe that chronologically, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And if that is true, and I believe that it is, then Job didn't have a Bible. Are you listening? That means Job must have communed with God in much the same way Adam and Eve did in the garden. They had a personal, verbal way of communicating one with another. And Job is saying, I have heard from him before, and I have obeyed what he has said, and I have treasured what he has said, and I want to hear from him again. He didn't run from the Word of God, but he ran to the Word of God. That's why he was wanting to talk to God. I submit to you that when adversity comes, there are those who run away from the Lord instead of to the Lord. They run away from the church instead of to the church. They run away from the Word of God instead of to the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, this Bible is the only hope we have. I said in my own pulpit this morning that the nuclear family in America is in trouble. But their only hope and their only help will come from the church that preaches the book. That's their only hope. It's not going to come from government. It's not going to come from psychologists. It's going to come from what does the Lord say about this matter. And that's the reason we need to get in the habit of putting the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts and memorizing it in such a way that when troubled times come, we can recall the promises of God, and those promises will help us to march on. That's exactly what Job did. Even though he was having trouble finding God, he knew God was present. Even though he was having trouble finding God at the moment, he knew he eventually would. Even though he had not heard from God at the exact time he wanted to, he knew he would hear from God. And he knew that when he did, everything would be okay. And then thirdly, Job teaches us that when God can't be found, not only must we trust our standing and trust the Scripture, but we must trust His sovereignty. Now let me just make this observation quickly. I am grateful to be Free Will Baptist. I'm grateful for my Free Will Baptist family. I don't think we're the only denomination that preaches God's Word, but I do think we're the one that preaches it the most accurately. This Free Will Baptist family has been good to my wife and I during these days, and that's beyond dispute. I am committed to Free Will Baptist and our doctrine and our distinctives. But I want to tell you, this idea of God being a sovereign God seems foreign to too many Free Will Baptists. But I'm here to tell you, He is indeed sovereign. Look at what Job says here. In verse 13, he said, He is one mind, and who can turn Him? In other words, what God decides to do, nobody else can stop. What His soul desires, even that He does. No one can contend with God and keep Him from doing what He deems right. Are you listening? In fact, if anybody understood that, it was probably Job. If you go all the way back to the earlier chapters in chapter 1 and chapter 2, when Job is learning that what he is facing didn't come simply from Satan, it came from God allowing Satan to do it. And so notice verse 14, He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. I want you to get the picture. Job says, look, I'm in this horrible state. I'm in this awful condition. I'm in this state where I want to talk to God. I need to hear from God. I'm looking for God, and I can't find Him. But I trust Him. Because what I'm going through, He has appointed for me. Now watch this. That's why he could say in verse 10, He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, Job had settled in his mind and in his heart that this condition he found himself in was ordered by the Lord. God brought him to it, but God didn't just bring him to it. He would bring him through it, and he would be better off in the end. God is doing something good for me. What I'm going through is for my good and His glory. May I submit to you that those troubled times that come in your life are for your good and His glory. We have to simply trust His sovereignty. I do not make this up, and I'm not looking for applause when I say things like this, but I'm here to tell you that I have adopted these three truths as the truths that are going to get me through what I face. And when it's all said and done, when it's all over, whether God chooses to heal, whether He chooses to use treatments or not, whether He chooses to take me home, whatever He chooses to do is for my good and His glory. Whatever it is. And I'm here to tell you, whatever tragedy has come to your life, whether it be cancer or whether it be some other manner of adversity, trust your standing with God. You're His child. He's your Father. Trust the Scriptures. Claim these promises. Lo, I'm with you always, He said. Even when I can't be found, I am near. Trust His sovereignty. He's got this. He's got this. We do not have to despair. We do not have to throw in the towel. Just trust Him. I was pastoring in Lancaster, South Carolina, and I'll close with this story. One of the men of our church had a stroke and was being airlifted from Lancaster to Charlotte. They were hoping to do surgery and maybe save his life. I immediately, upon getting news of this event, went to the hospital in Charlotte, sat with that family, awaiting good news, but over and over again it seemed to be more bad news than good. He had a granddaughter, as I recall, who was there in the waiting area. And she had on a Christian t-shirt. How many of you like Christian t-shirts? Anybody here like them? Guess what? I like them too. I don't wear a lot of them. I feel like the Goodyear blimp when I wear t-shirts, so I don't wear them. But she wore one. And I want to give you just a simple word of advice real quickly, okay? If you're going to wear a Christian t-shirt, live right while you're wearing it. I walked into a convenience store, Brother Jeff, in Wicksburg, Alabama, and this guy was buying a big old case of beer, and his t-shirt was a Goodwater Free Will Baptist t-shirt. The church I pastored. I didn't know him. I'm right behind him. I looked at him and said, "Sir, tell me about Goodwater." He said, "Well, what do you want to know?" I said, "Everything you can tell me." "Well, that's right down the street." I said, "Is that where you go to church?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "That's interesting. I've been pastoring there for about a year now, and I've never seen you before. And I'd be awfully grateful if you wouldn't wear that shirt when you're buying beer." But this young lady had one on, and here's what it said. "When I can't cope, Jesus gives hope." Hey, I like that. Don't you? "When I can't cope, Jesus gives hope." But nearly everybody that would walk into that room, that waiting room, would be greeted by her. And she'd be saying, "You got a cigarette or a nerve pill? I need a cigarette. I need a nerve pill. You got one? You got a cigarette? You got a nerve pill?" I mean, everybody that walked in that room without exception was greeted that way by this young lady with a t-shirt that said, "When I can't cope, Jesus gives hope." Now, I didn't get in the flesh. But I wanted to get in the flesh. Because I wanted to shake that young lady violently and say, "Young lady, read your shirt." And I say that simply to say this. The shirt is accurate. Jesus gives us hope. When trouble comes and God can't be found, trust your standing. Trust the scripture. Trust his sovereignty. Stand with me for prayer. Father, as Pastor Jeff comes forward.